So we can discuss how much in advance before Shavuot is an obligated to learn the halachas of Shavuot. For some person takes 30 days before, the same as we find with all the other Yom Tovim. So the Gemara says that, what are you going to learn for 30 days? That there's not so much to learn, there's only one simon in the wall of the Shavuot. So the Gemara says from Rosh Chodesh even is ready enough time. So we're going to extend it a little bit. We're going to not just discuss the halachas of Shavuot, we're going to discuss the general halachas of Yom Tov. So the halachas of Yom Tov, there's plenty to discuss the whole Yom Tov of Yom Tov, and we'll try to focus on something that's going to come up this particular Yom Tov Shavuot. So the Shaila has been asked already several times. I don't remember whether it's officially a Shaila of the week, whether I got it yet this week, although the odds are I'm probably going to get it sometime before the end of this week. And that's the question of lighting a Yuletide candle, or a Yisker candle, on Yom Tov itself. So we know many have a custom when they say Yisker to light a Yuletide candle before. And the question is, this year, when this falls out on Monday, and Shabbos is the day before Yom Tov, so first we're going to light a Yuletide candle, to light a regular Yuletide candle, and it's going to last. If you light a 2-day Yuletide candle, it's not going to last. So you have three options. Either you light a 3-day Yuletide candle, or you buy one of the 7-day Yuletide candles, or you come to the Shia and find out where maybe it's allowed to light even on Yom Tov itself. That's going to be tonight's topic. What's the din? Is it permissible to light a Yuletide candle on Yom Tov? So our initial reaction would be, we don't even understand the Shaila. Of course, it's most everybody knows you're allowed to light candles, you're not Yom Tov candles. Everyone knows you're allowed to light candles on Yom Tov. We know that we're not allowed to light from the constructed match. The Mishnah says that you have to light candles on Yom Tov from pre-existing flames for other technical reasons with the Rabbanon. But Nikra did, you're allowed to light fires on Yom Tov. So why should there be any issue involved? So much of the discussion revolves around a somewhat of a cryptic statement in the Yerushalmi. There's a Tosus in the first line of the Kamos, Tosus in Beit Sadaf Chav Gimel quotes the Yerushalmi. On the first line, the Chenash Yerushalmi Mishirin, Ma'olad Luke Neshel Batala Yom Tov. Yerushalmi poses the question, is it permitted? The light we call a national batala. Batala means shoot the kimashma. Batala means someone sitting around bottling, not doing anything. So you want to light a candle for no real reason. You're not going to accomplish anything. You're not going to use the candle for light. You're not going to use the candle to cook. You're not going to use the candle for heat. You just not want to light a candle for no reason on Yom Tov. Is that permissible or not? So Rabbi Yossi also Rabban and Sharu. So the Mishami presented as a machlokes. Rabbi Yossi held that it was prohibited, and the other Chacham held that it was permissible. So the Rishami never explains what the issue is, why one should say also, why one should say mutter. So Tosus is guessing what the issue is. Now Tom says Tosus, again, this line doesn't appear in the Rishami. So Tosus is reading into the Rishami. So Tosus says that the one who says that's prohibited, Sava davar l'chalik yatsa, Tavi melach v'asla tosu b'yamtif. Mandashari Sava d'alav yatsa, davar shlo tach v'la tosu b'yamtif. Tosus says that it has something to do with two phrases, one called davar l'chalik yatsa, what is called the Varla Lav Yatsa. So if we understand what the world those phrases mean, then we'll understand what Tosfos is driving at and hopefully what the Rishabi is all about. So in order to get a better perspective on this Tosfos and the extension of the Rishabi, so we have to look at the Sugya and the second Imam Kamus where these two phrases appear, the Varla Lav and context of the Varla Lachalik. What in the world do these phrases mean? So both of the Tanoim that appear in the following Braisa are addressing an issue with the Poskin Chumash. The Poskin says, you're not allowed to do any malacha on Shabbos. It says it multiple times, Los Asuka malacha. And we know exactly what the definition of malacha is. The Torah tells us it's the 39 malachas that were used in the construction of the Mishkan. So whenever the Torah says not to malacha, that means don't be choresh, don't be zareh, don't be kotzer, don't cook, don't wash your clothes, don't bang with habits. We know exactly what 39 malachas are. And one of the malachas of Mishkan is the lighting of fires. We know for a fact. The same way we know that they plowed and planted and harvested for the Mishkan, so we know they lit fires in the part of the construction of the Mishkan. If that is the case, then we already know from the possible Sasaka malacha that it is also in the Torah to light fires on Shabbos. So why in the world does the Torah single out most of our Eish Chumash Rishon? Why does the Torah say, as a separate, as a special, unique pasuk, by the way, don't light fires on Shabbos? The Torah never says, oh, by the way, don't be bone on Shabbos. By the way, don't wash your clothes on Shabbos. Don't be marshal on Shabbos. So what is the significance of singling out this issue of Sabar Eish B'chum B'Shoseichem B'yom B'Shabbos? The Zohar says of this Pasuk of Sabar Eish B'chum B'Shoseichem that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that you're not allowed to burn an internal flame on Shabbos. You're not allowed to get angry on Shabbos. You're not allowed to get angry holy alone. But there's a special issue of the Zohar that says get angry on Shabbos. That's almost like Chil Shabbos. Sabar Eish B'chum B'Shoseichem. Yom Shabbos. But again, that's an additional level interpretation. But the Ikar Teshuva Peh interpretation of that pasuk is found in this Braisa in Masechet Shabbos. There's no quote to Machlekes HaTanoim what the point of that pasuk Los Havara was. So this Tanya, one Tanya says, Avar L'Lav Yotza Tiber B'Yosi. And Yosi's opinion was that Havara was the Lav Yotza. So namely, that the Torah singles out lighting the fires on Shabbos to tell me the lighting fires are not as bad as the other Malachim. If you take a survey of people, ask them, what's the worst? Give me the absolute worst case of the Chol Shabbos. They say, to light a fire, strike a man. You can't get the Chol Shabbos in that. So according to Yosi, that's not correct. According to Yosi, Borer is the biggest Chol Shabbos, carrying the biggest Chol Shabbos, he's the biggest Chol Shabbos. He said, we're not advocating lighting fires on Shabbos. Nobody permits Pasi and Chumash doesn't want to do it. But Yosi says that that's only in Issa Lav. It's not an Issa Misa, not an Issa Skil, not an Issa Kares. It's terrible thing. It's an Avera, but it's not considered to be the highest form of Chol Shabbos. According to Yosi, Los Havara Eish is coming to mitigate the otherwise Isser of Malacha. And Rabbi Nelson, I'm the Chalakia. So Rabbi Nelson says, no, that's not what the point of the Pasuk is. The point of the Pasuk is to tell me that we view Avara as a separate, distinct Isser. And for that matter, we view each and every of the Malachas as a separate, distinct Isser. My Naskamina. So there's a din. If a person does an Avera, Mishogeg, if it's the type of an Avera that he wouldn't be obligated to bring a Karbon Chatas for, let's say, eat Chometz and Pesach. So the guy eats Chometz and Pesach, but may is Chayef Koris. He eats Chometz and Pesach b'shogeg unintentionally, he has to be a Karbon Chatas. What if the fellow eats a slice of pizza, and then 2 minutes later eats another piece of pizza, and then 5 minutes later eats a challah, 10 minutes later he has a bag of pretzels, 20 minutes later he has a bowl of cereal, and in the interim he didn't even chop what was going on. He just kept doing the same aveira over and over and over again. So that's one aveira. He just multiplied the same aveira over and over and over again, so he only brings one Karbon Chatas. If in the interim he finds out that it was Pesach, and then he forgot again, that's a whole other story. But if he just keeps on chazing over the same aveira multiple times, so he's covered by one carbon chatas. So what would the din be in Shabbos? If a person does, he cooks, and he carries, and he washes his clothes, and he builds something, and he harvests, and he plants, he does multiple malachas, it's called the Helam Echad, all the same mistake. He forgot, he didn't know anything about Shabbos. So it comes, the Gemara says, that he has to bring a carbon to each and every malacha. Because each and every malacha is viewed as a separate, distinct aveira. We don't say that it's just the same lasach malacha, just chasing over the same malacha. Each malacha is a separate lava. How do we know that? What's the source for that? Rabbi Nelson tells us that's derived from the phrase Havara L'Lav Yotzos. I'm sorry, Havara L'Chalikot. The Torah singles out Havara as a separate aveira. That comes to be the Gal, that comes to reveal to us that Havara is one of the 39 malachas, and it's its own Avera. So to the other 38 Averas are also each one is a separate distinct Avera. So there's an Achleikis at the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nelson. What is the purpose of singling out Havara? According to Rabbi Yossi, it lowers down Havara to merely a Lav. According to Rabbi Nelson, it elevates Havara, for that matter, with the other Malachas, to separate and distinct Yisurim. What is this impact on Yantif? So Tosfos understood that this Achleikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nelson is really a fundamental question. What is Havara? Is Havara really on par with the other 38 Malachas? So according to Rabbi Yossi, Havara is not really a Malacha. Havara is an addition on Shabbos. It's not allowed to do it on Shabbos, but it's not a Malacha. Proof positive it's not a Malacha. There's no, we have Karis, no Chiyah Skila for it. The only Chayav Karis and Skila for Malacha. It's an Isser and Shabbos, Shalom B'Teres Malacha. According to Rabbi Nelson, that's not true. According to Rabbi Nelson, Havara is on equal footing with the other 38 malachas, and you have Karsin Skila, the works for Havara. So this machlekes of Yosef and Rabbi Nelson is a fundamental conceptual question. How do we view the prohibition of lighting fires on Shabbos? Is lighting fires on Shabbos a malacha? That's what we think. It's we passing Rabbi Yosef, as like Rabbi Nelson. Or is lighting fires on Shabbos not a malacha altogether? So why is that important for Yom Tov? So now let's go back to the Tosfos again. Now read the Tosfos slowly. So Tosfos says, in the second line, back to the first line of the Kabbalah, V'atam. V'atam on the Osir, the opinion that says that you're not allowed to light fires on Yom Tov for no reason. Sova d'Avara l'chalik Yotzos. He was of the opinion that Avara is l'chalik Yotzos, that it's on par, it's a regular full-fledged malacha, Avim malacha. And since it's a malacha, Osir, so to be Yom Tov, and therefore it is prohibited to be done on Yom Tov. Uman d'Shari, whereas the one who permits lighting fires on Yom Tov, is of the opinion of l'chalik Yotzos. But it's a lav. It's not really a malacha altogether. But let's just be it's not a malacha altogether. It's a unique issa that was given to Afka Shabbos. It was never given on Yom Tov, and therefore it's mutter. So
So basically what Tosfos did is they put together the Yerushalmi and Beitza with the Bavli and Masechet Shabbos and made everything as Lushit Tosfos. Everything's all totally, everything's dependent on one another. And it all boils down to what your take on Avara is. If you think Avara is a real full-fledged Malacha, then it's fundamentally Asur and Yadif. It's going to be Mutter if there's a Torah, whatever particular Torah is. But Nehashu Batal is going to be Asur in that Torah. If you hold that Avar is a lot of Yasa, then it's going to be Hefer Gomer. So some of you may have noticed that the name switched from Yossi in the wrong direction. So in the end, it's not a problem because Rabbi Yossi in the Yushami is Rabbi Yossi in the Amoy, it's not Rabbi Yossi in the Tanim. So it's not the same person. The Chalmud years are different. But a couple of the way Tosa sizes up the Yushami, how should we pass him halacha? So the Yushami leaves it somewhat of a vague question. What's the din? Is Avara going to be mutter on Yontif, Shalola Tarechlan, and Yeshiva Tal is going to be mutter or not? So the Gemara quotes him, yes, the Gemara never explains what the final conclusion is. So not only that, but if you go back to the Tosfos, in the middle of the third line, the Gemara there actually concludes, Lo Tesov, Lo Tishri. Yushalmi says, if somebody asks you, what's the din? Can I light a candle for no reason? Don't say it's also, because we don't know it's also. And if somebody asks you, can I light a candle on the other, don't say it's mutter either, because we don't really know that it's mutter. What are you supposed to say? I don't know. If they call another rabbi, call somebody else. You're not allowed to pass the shayla, the Yushalmi says. Lo tesov lo tishri. I'm afraid to give the shir. Because Yushalmi says you can't tell people what to do because you don't really have a clear-cut answer. So Tosfos says, what are we going to tell people? The mic says, Baal Batim want to know, rabbi, can I light the candle or not? So Tosfos says, the condition is on. The last of the verse, let's say, we have to be careful about this because at the end of the day, if the Yushalmi doesn't give us a green light, we have to earn this out of caution and we're not allowed to light a Neshu Batola. So when all the dust settles in the sugya, we're going to stay away from lighting a national batala and yontif. We're not really sure what the din is. So according to Tosfos, we really do know what the din is. Because we know for a fact that we paskin havar is l'chalik yontif. So we who paskin l'chal Shabbos havar l'chalik yontif, and that's the source of the opinion that says the national batala is also a yontif. So we know what the din is. So Tosfos is like having it wrong. They're hesitant to give a clear-cut psak. But l'chara, we should give a clear-cut psak. We should paskin l'alocha. That we conclude with absolutely unequivocally that Ne'ashim Atal is Asar on Yom. That's the Chor, what the Din should be according to Tosfos. However, one opens up the Rambam, the third in the Rambam comes in Perek Aleph, Halachadalf, Luchas Yontif, so you get the impression that the Rambam holds that you're allowed to light all kind of candles on Yom. No limitations, no hesitations, no reservations whatsoever. So if you take a look, the Rambam is talking about multiple malachas, but then the punchline for us is the third line into the Rambam. It's the middle of the line by the period. The chayin with lahavir, the Rambam writes that you're allowed to light fires on yontif. Even though there's no need for any food whatsoever, you're allowed to light fires on yontif. But the Rambam doesn't tell us is, by the way, if there's no need whatsoever, then you talk shouldn't light it. The Rambam is very, very open-ended in this. The Rambam writes that don't think that Echol Nefesh means that you have to light candles and fires only to cook. That's not true. You can light for other things as well. And the Rambam never limits, never puts any brakes on what those other things are. So the simple shot in the Rambam is that Ne'ashim Atal is in fact mutter, which is a little bit of a problem. Because if the Rambam learned like Tosfos, that the Svara of the opinion who permitted Ne'ashim Atal is because he held that Havar is the Lav Yatsim, it's not really Malach and Shabbos altogether, that would clearly not be correct according to the Rambam, because the Rambam, like everybody else, paskin that Havar is l'chalik yasuf. We paskin Havar is a full-fledged melacha. We paskin you light a fire on Shabbos, a chayv skila. So obviously the Rambam must have a different position. If the Rambam held the halacha that Ne'ashim Atal is really permissible, it has to be based on something else. The question is, what's that something else? What's the missing link? So we have a Yerushalmi that throws out a question, doesn't resolve the question, and we're not sure what the issue in the Yerushalmi is, so Tosfos took a guess, that maybe it depends on the chalik or the lav. If Tosfos is correct, then the conclusion of the halach is clearly that you can't light a candle for no reason on Yom Tov. But the Rambam clearly didn't learn that way, because the Rambam says you can light a candle for no reason. It must be based on something else. So what is that missing link? What is that something else? So we take a look at the fourth of the Rambam Kamas. There's a very famous Mishnah in Masechet Beitza. The Mishnah tells us the Shami Omrim Emotzian Los, a Kadam Los, a Lulubos, a Vitalish is around. The Shami says that you're not allowed to push a baby carriage on Yontif, you're not allowed to carry a Lulub to Shul on Yontif, you're not allowed to carry a turn the street on Yontif. Ubeisilah Matir, Ubeisilah says all of the above are permissible. What's the Shaila? So Beishamai makes a lot of sense. The Shami says that anything Yontif will Shabbat, The only things you're allowed to do on Yom Tov is Echol Nefesh. So you're allowed to carry for food. I want to bring food to the sukkah. That's okay. I want to bring a bottle of water. I'm going to bring a cake. I'm going to somebody for a meal. I want to bring some food. That's okay. But I want to push my baby. Why is that okay? I want to carry my lulav, carry my sefer Torah, carry my machzor, carry my tissues. Why is that okay? So Bishamay says it's not okay. Bishamay says that any cooking for any carrying for non-food purposes is outright awesome in HaTorah. That's a full-fledged malacha on Yom Tov. The question is Beisil Matira. Why did Beisil say it's permissible? What's the love list of Beisil? So the Gemara explains at the end of the first line, at the end of the first line of the Gemara, the fourth and the Rambamas, the Gemara says the machlokes is, it revolves around the principle called mitoch. Beishami says that when the Torah permits food preparation on Yom Tov, that's all the Torah permits. So there is right no more. Echol Nefesh is mutar, nothing else. And Beisil will say no. Since the Torah permits that particular action of Hotzah, even though Hotzah is not always for food, but sometimes it's for food, once we identify Hotzah as being a food-oriented type of melacha, it now by extension becomes permissible for other reasons as well. So you can carry a sefer Torah, you can carry a baby, carry a lulav, etc. Everything is mutar because of the principle of mitoch. So the Sham is still finding out on love of the Araisa. Is there an opinion of mitoch? Is there a concept of mitoch? So Bishami is the simple view to understand. It says, never is interesting. Echol Nefesh is what it says in the Chodesh. That's all there is. Nothing more, nothing less. And Beis Hillel have this Chiddush Gadol of mitoch. So Bishami have a lot of trouble trying to figure out where did Beis Hillel get it from. Not so partial with the source. We said, what does it share a couple weeks ago? That the Shalom Bishami, where did it come from? Beis Hillel is really a Chiddush. But the mic will be passing, of course, like Beis Hillel. So there is a big machlokes that we shown in Dimashi and Tosfos. What exactly are the parameters of this din of mitoch? Just how far does mitoch go and how far does it not go? So Tosfos, we take a look at the fifth of the Rambam Kavos. So Tosfos on Daf Yud Beis and Aleph, at the end of the first line, Tosfos says, "V'dafka botzo sheish batzarech yonder ptzas." Then Tosfos, even Beis Hillel, who say you can carry for non-food on yonder, look at the examples that Beis Hillel gives. Carrying a baby, carrying a lulav, carrying a sefer Torah. Those are all things that enhance your yantif. It adds the simple yantif, it adds to the mitzvah of Dalaminim, it adds to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. These are all things that fall into the category of Tzarech HaYom Ktas. So Tosfos claims, V'davke b'atzah sheish b'tzarech yom tif ktas aminim yitav, shu etzah tzarech yom tif. V'chol nefesh ochol nefesh mutar, chushana mishlo tzarech ochol nefesh, hol b'ika tzarech miktas sheish tzarech yom tif. Aba shalom tzarech yom tif, also says, what if a guy wants to carry something on yantif for absolutely no reason? Vadi the awesome in a Torah. What's the shayla of the Torah? Avad. Of course, that's awesome in the Raisa. Beisilu didn't say carrying the food on yantif. Beisilu says carrying is permissible if and when there's a Torah yom. They watered down the definition of Torah. Beishami said Torah means literally Echol Nefesh, and Beisilu accepted even secondary Torahim as well. But the buck stops here that it has to at least be a Torah yom. So Tosfos is presenting their opinion in contrast to Rashi. Rashi in Beit and Avid Beit Menalf learns the Gemara. Literally, Shittu Kemashmel, Mitoch Shehut Shalot Tzarech, Chutinavi Shalot Tzarech. Shalot Tzarech means Shalot Tzarech, Klal, Klal, Klal. According to Tosfos, Shalot Tzarech means Shalot Tzarech Echol Nefesh, but there's a little bit of a Tzarech. According to Rashi, Shalot Tzarech means there's absolutely no need. You're gaining nothing, accomplishing nothing, and it's still Mutter. Because the Mice of Hatzah is permissible on Yom Tov. So this idea that Rashi is saying that Mitoch, you know, has no bounds, has no limitations to it, that's quite possible with the Rambam Shita by Havara as well. The Rambam says you can light fires on Yom Tov for no reason. You can light candles, but you're not using, you're not reading, you're not cooking, you're not nothing. It's still okay to light fires on Yom Tov. That seems to go along the lines of Rashi Shita. That's the Heter Mitoch, and that applies to Melachas, whatever Melachas and Yom Tov Mitoch applies to. So that knows no limits and no bounds whatsoever. So we have a Machlokes, and we show that we told in the Rambam, what was the reason to possibly permit a national batala? We're not even sure that's mutter. But assuming that's mutter, according to one opinion in the Rishali, the Rambam Pasuk is that's mutter, what's the rationale to permit it? So Tosfos says it's mutter, according to that opinion, because Havara is never really a malach on Shabbos altogether. And according to the Rambam, that's not what's mutter. Of course, Havara is a malach. No, according to Tosfos, it's never really a malach on Shabbos either. It's also, awesome. I'm back what I said. Whereas according to the Rambam, it's a full-fledged malach on Shabbos, and it's still mutter on Yom Tov based on the principle of mitoch. So when all the dust settles, it's not like it's a Mishana. It's like the Ramach, like the Mishamach, like the Mishamach, the Paschim. What's the status of the Nesha Batala? Should we follow Tosfos Shita that the Nesha Batala should be avoided? Or should we follow the Ramach Shita that the Nesha Batala is mutter? So the Poskim write that we should clearly follow the Machmir and the Shaila. There's a Shaila of a real, a potential Shaila deraisa. So we're not going to tell anybody to light a Neshul Batala. The Maharshal writes that he saw in Europe that people were lighting neighbors for no real reason. They were ones of sufficient ground. No real talk. People were lighting fires very flippantly in Europe. So he says, the island was being known like the Rambam. So what do you do? You stop people. With the Shishagin, they're relying, because now the Rambam they're relying upon. But if you want to know what the correct halacha is, so all the later posts can say, the more correct halacha is not to follow that. The more correct halacha to follow, the Rishami and the Taisus, that we should avoid any kind of candles and lights on Yom Tov, unless it's a Terech HaYom. Again, Terech HaYom doesn't mean food. It means for any other Terech HaYom, but it has to qualify as a Terech HaYom. So now, this is all the background to our Shaila. What is or what is not called the Terech HaYom? So with the lighting of a Yahrzeit candle, many have the cost of lighting a Yahrzeit candle, when they say Yisgur, is that considered to be a Terech HaYom? So if someone wants to light, let's say Sunday night, Tekken HaYom, if so he wants to light a Yahrzeit candle, should burn for Yisgur. So is that considered to be enough of a Terech HaYom or not? So again, if you don't like the Rambam, like the Marshal said, the minig was in some places in Europe to permit lighting candles for no reason whatsoever, and some new child, then you can just light a candle and finish. But according to the Machmirim, can we somehow categorize a Yahrzeit candle as being a Ner Shel Tzorech, or maybe a Yahrzeit candle is also labeled in Halach like a Ner, quote-unquote, Shel Batala? So the Mishnah Berura, in the sixth of the Mamakamos, in the Sefer Be'Halacha, he raises this question. So he writes, V'da'od, the Ner Shel Yahrzeit, said a Yahrzeit candle, obviously, it would be better to light an Erev Yom Tov to avoid the Hoshayla. But if a person forgot, didn't get around to lighting a Yahrzeit candle in Erev Yom Tov, so Yadlikenu HaKolponim B'Chedesh HaOchlin Bo. So the Mishnah Berurah first recommends that you should light the Yahrzeit candle in a room that you're eating anyway. Why? Because if you're eating in that room anyway, the Mosif Ora B'Cheder, so then it's adding light to the room. So you can argue that's like the Terech HaYom a little bit. Let's say it would be pitch black in the room, but I want to light a candle to be able to eat properly. That's for sure called Terech HaYom. That wouldn't be a Shaila. But here there is light already in the room, so I want to add a little bit more light. So one can argue that would be also adds a little bit to the Simchas HaYom, adds a little bit to the cheerfulness of the table. Otherwise, it could be dark at the table. So that would be also enough for Terech HaYom. So the Shabbat says that what we should do is try to kill two birds with one stone. Instead of just lighting it as a Yahrzeit candle in the corner somewhere where it's not providing any real light, light it in the place you're eating. So the post can point out that for us, this is very, very difficult to argue, because this may have been true in Rabin back in the 1800s when there were no electric lights. So all the light that was coming from candles, so you add another candle, it makes it a little brighter. Today, you have all your electric lights on, so you're putting Yahrzeit, anyone may name them, let's be honest to each other, that when you have a Yahrzeit candle, oh, you walk into the room, wow. Baruch Hashem for the Yahrzeit candle. Now it's really light in the room. Now I'm really getting geschmack of things together. So they tell us, obviously, the Yahrzeit candle is not really accomplishing anything in terms of light. So then the Be'er Halacha tries a second approach. You can see even in Rabin in 1800s, he wasn't so thrilled with this. So maybe it's better that you should light it in shul. Why? Because the post can point out that when you light candles in shul, that's for sure recovered. That for sure enhances the covenant of the basic Knesset, and that's considered to be enough for Terech HaYom. So that would be the next, that would be in a better thing to do. So the post say, Bezman Hazeh, that's also highly questionable. Bezman Hazeh, most of us don't like candles in shul. Many of the Chassidish shuls, by the Chazim, they put up two candles. Every Shechet Chamayim, they still put up two candles. But for most of us, we turn on the, we have lights. We have lights. Some shuls have visual lights. Okay, some shuls have turn on the lights. But again, it's for us to put it, to stick a Yahrzeit candle by the Chazim Shtender and say that's enhancing the Kavod HaYom, it's hard to accept that either. So the two suggestions that the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah himself wasn't so thrilled with either one of them, but those two suggestions probably wouldn't really apply, wouldn't really help us too much with Zman HaZeh. So then the Mishnah Berurah comes up with a third idea and says, V'shas Abchak. So what if you're really stuck? Evsha Diyesh Lahatim. It could be that you can be Mekel. B'chol Gavne, even the light at Mamish, just stop off lighting your Yahrzeit candle, right? Dabike Ein Ner Shel Mitzvah. So says the Mishnah Berurah, maybe we can defend the lighting of the Yahrzeit candle and call it almost like a Ner Shel Mitzvah. If it's a Ner Shel Mitzvah, that's not Levav Tola. That's like a shofar. That's like a carrying a lulav. Carrying a sefer Torah. That's very kosher. It's very important. So that wouldn't be called a Ner Shel Mitzvah. Why is that? Because the purpose of lighting the Yahrzeit candle is to keep it on the eighth, cover it for the parents. So came his bar, B'tshuvas Ksav Sefer. He quotes from B'tshuvas Ksav Sefer, that maybe we can justify the Di'evit, B'shas Al-Chak, the lighting of the Yahrzeit candle, not the proper, to take it out of the category of Ner Shel Mitzvah. So again, according to the Rambam, the whole Shir is moot. According to the Rambam, you can light it for no reason whatsoever. But according to the practice that most people can say we should follow Tosfos over the Rambam, So then we have to justify the Yotzei Kelim by making it into a national Torah. So the Mishmur came up with two creative suggestions. Either putting it where the food is, or putting it where the shul is, and neither of them really are so relevant as much as that. But the next suggestion would apply for us also. It's the Chavar of Osav. Maybe that's called the national Mitzvah. Right, right. In theory, that would be true, but I don't know what Mishnah Berurah was even considering that. I don't know what the cooking situation was in Raz and back in the 1800s. So I don't know whether the person was ever really going to be lighting from the earth. I don't know. I guess in theory, you could turn that into a cooking plan. That would be great. So the question is, can we really justify this based on this idea that L'chvon Avosa somehow qualifies as a mitzvah? So the question becomes just how far are we willing to stretch the definition of a mitzvah? Now, the different mitzvahs that the Mishnah gave us, about carrying, the Mishnah spoke about carrying a lulav, carrying a Sefer Torah, even carrying a baby. There's Machlokes and Rishonim, what he carried the baby for. Ben Chananel says he carried the baby for a bris. And Tosfos writes, not for a bris. He carried the baby 6 months old. He carried the baby for Simchas Yontif, because you want to take a walk, you want to take a shpatzia to the park with your wife. So those are already mitzvahs we can understand. Lulav, Simchas Yontif, Sefer Torah, those are real bona fide mitzvahs. This mitzvah, lighting a Yotzei candle, mitzvah for the voice of, that's a very, very shaky kind of a mitzvah. So the Gemara has a discussion about another kind of a mitzvah that we're not even sure qualifies as a mitzvah, and the Yotzei candle maybe even less than that. So in the seventh of the Mamre Kamos, the Gemara Psachim and Daf Vavam and Aleph tells the number of Yotzei candle, if a person finds chametz in his house on Yotzei, so we cannot burn the chametz on the spot because it's Yotzei. What he has to do is he has to cover over it because we're afraid he may come to eat it. And then the minute Yantav is up and comes home, he has to dispose of it, burn and get rid of it right away. So the question that Rishon Babalim is, why can't he burn it on Yantav itself? You're allowed to make fire. Again, assuming that's for a pre-existing flame. The guy has a cooking fire, has a lot of fire around. He has Yurta candles, he has the candles from Yantav around. So why can't he simply extend that fire and make a bigger fire and throw the chametz into the fire? Isn't that a tzorchei mitzvah? Isn't that a great mitzvah? Why is that less of a mitzvah than carrying for a Torah, a shofar, a lulav, baby, etc.? So what's wrong with this mitzvah? Why is this mitzvah lacking? So Tosfos in Maseches Ksuba says that the truth is there's nothing lacking in this mitzvah. The mitzvah of bir chametz is a very, very chashuv mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. It's just as important as lulav and shofar, Torah, and babies. The only reason why the Gemara says you can't do it is because there's a total tangential problem. The problem is total muktzah. Chametz and Pesach happens to be also the achinu v'hanah. Anything you can't eat, you can't use, you can't benefit from, it's like garbage, it's like sticks and stones, and you're not allowed to move it. So it's mukta. So it tells us, right, how are you going to burn it? What? You know, there's no hetzer to move mukta with mitzvah. No such hetzer. So it tells us, right, that there's no way logistically to get around the problem. Therefore, never, you have to cover over it and wait till after Yontif to Chalom Moed comes. But in terms of Hilchot Yontif, in terms of the malacha of burning, Tosfos doesn't see any problems with burning the chametz on Yontif itself. So the Ran disagrees with the Tosfos. The Ran says, there is a problem. You know what the problem is? The Ran says in the Sefer Tzachim that we're dealing with a person, a regular firm person, who's already mevatel the chametz before Yontif. You're ready to declare kochamim, the chametz is ready batel. So the Gemara says in Tzachim that down on the day, that minat Torah, as long as you declare the chametz to be batel, you don't even have to get rid of it on pace. You can leave it around the house. The fact that we get rid of that chametz, even though we're mevatel the chametz, that's the Rabban. Minat Torah, when's your mevatel? That's not yours. It's the Shemitz, whatever the loveless of it lives. And the whole Mishnah in Tzach, that oil of us, the mitzvah we call B'digas Chametz, is all Midirabbanim. So the Ran says that, if you were not Mavati Chametz, you forgot you're Mavati Chametz, and you find it on Yontif, go burn it right now. Says the Ran, you have to burn it. The Gemara is talking about a regular guy. He was already Mavati Chametz, and therefore there's no great tzarech to make a fire now. Why is there no great tzarech? There's a tremendous tzarech. What's the tzarech? There's a mitzvah Midirabbanim, B'digas Chametz. There's a chiyah midrabbanim. You're not allowed to leave chametz around your house on the level of derabbanim. Even if you own mevatel, if you weren't mevatel, so then you can't leave it in your house even with deraisa. But even if you own mevatel, you can't leave it in your house with derabbanim. That's the mishnah that beis b'psachim. So why doesn't that qualify as a tzarech hayon? So the chori you see from the Ran that a tzarech mitzvah derabbanim. It's not a tzarech. That in order to pass get up the shaila of making fires and carrying those are deraisa kashailas, it has to be a real bona fide mitzvah on the level of deraisa. Anything that's only a mitzvah on the level of derabbanim is not enough for a mitzvah. So the Ran doesn't even mention mukta. Maybe the Ran thought you could figure out a way to burn it without moving it. I don't know. Maybe the Ran had an eighth time to do it. But the Ran says there's a malacha problem. The malacha problem is that that's not called the Tzarech HaYoyim, because it's not required that the Rabbanim, it's only required that the Rabbanim to do it. So the Ran is telling you, even something like the Bigas Chomet, which the Ma'is is a real mitzvah, we make a bracha on Asher Kiddushanu B'tzvah, it's the first mission of Sochem. That's a mitzvah that the Rabbanim to do. And even a real bona fide mitzvah of the Rabbanim is not quite a Tzorech to be not there making a fire. So then it's hard to believe letting it be your psyche and though it's lechvada voice of it's not a mitzvah de rice, it's not a mitzvah de rabban, so no big a brach on it. If a guy forgot to light your psyche, it's not the end of the world. The whole thing is a minig Yisrael. It's a beautiful minig. It should be, you know, have your side, have lighting yiska candles, they should continue to light them. But in terms of saying that it's a mitzvah, it's a more important mitzvah than Bikas Chometz. I mean, Ben-Aidon, and hierarchy of mitzvahs. If you have a choice to light your psyche for yiska or to do Bikas Chometz, which is more important, it sounds like a foolish shayla. And still the Ran wasn't convinced that the Bikas Chometz is enough for Torah. So the Ran's going to justify that, unless you say we don't pass like the Ran. So Mishnah Berurah writes, he quotes the Torah, he doesn't quote the Ran. So Mishnah Berurah sounds like even mitzvah, says even mitzvah Rabbanan would be sufficient. But still, even if a mitzvah Rabbanan is sufficient, this is much less than a mitzvah Rabbanan. It's not even a mitzvah Rabbanan. The Poskim discussed about carrying things that are not even mitzvah Rabbanan. They're a much, much lower level than mitzvah Rabbanan. Think tashlich. You want to carry a mask of a tashlich. So let's say you're going out of the area. What in the world is the justification to carrying a mask that to say tashlich outside the area? So we know that in Europe, that the reason why the minhag became not to say tashlich on the first ever Shoshana when it was on Shabbos was because they used to go to the river, and the river was always outside of the Erev. So therefore, the minhag became to push off tashlich until Sunday, until the second day of Rosh Hashanah, when the first day would be on Shabbos. But on Yom Tov itself, they did do tashlich, and they went out of the air, and they carried the machzorim. So how can you justify carrying the machzorim to tashlich? Look, how can you carry machzorim to say tashlich? What's the great mitzvah their eyes to think tashlich? Benayin, what's the great mitzvah? They're about saying tashlich. What's so important about saying tashlich? According to the Ran, that's a big, big problem. Even according to Tosfos, it's a problem. So Shlomo Zalman writes that maybe the mitzvah is the tefillah. You're davening to the Rebbe Shalom. So even though the daven to the Rebbe Shalom is not a chiyuv government in a Torah, according to the Rambam, it's not a chiyuv every day. According to the Rambam, it is a chiyuv every day. Already daven shachar is supposed to be ready. So it's not an absolute chiyuv to say tashlich with the raisa. So Shlomo Zalman writes, it's still a kiyum mitzvah. It's still a mitzvah of the B'chol Levachem. I mean, even Hashem, I'm speaking to the Rebbe Shalom. Anytime I daven and I approach the Rebbe Shalom, I teach the Rebbe Shalom anything, that's a mitzvah deraita. It's not a chiyum deraita, it's a mitzvah deraita. And that's enough to justify the carrying of a machia. So that's, okay, that we can salvage. Shlomo Zalman is able to save the carrying of the machia. But to permit the lighting of the Yerushalayim Genesis, also for the voice of, it's a big, big chiddush. Again, Mishnah Berurah says it. Mishnah Berurah is willing to efshir yesh lahatim. B'shas al chak and efshir. That's like two negative things. B'shas al chak, so you shouldn't get yourself into this position in the first place. And if the shas al chak, then it's efshir. Maybe Kenza efshir, we can discuss it. So it would appear that the more correct thing to do in this whole scenario is before the whole shayla. So we should go back to what we said before. She has started by the 3-day candles, by the 7-day candles. One shouldn't rely on this. If one is mamish stuck and they really feel they absolutely have to light your candles, they're going to go mamish bananas, they don't light your candles. So then Efsh, who says, Mishmur says, Bishashachak, Efsh is the Eshla Hatir. But the Chachila, one should really try to avoid Shosha. Because guy would be so upset. Maybe. There is a Machwekis, the Ramon, another post came about the psychological Tzarech called the Tzarech and that. So the Ramah writes, So the Ramah writes that unless the person wants to carry keys on Yom Tov, not keys to help him get Echol Nefesh. He's got a horse. He's got stuff locked up in his house, and he doesn't want to leave the keys in the house. He wants to make sure he has the keys in. He's afraid someone's gonna steal something. So the Ramah writes that you're allowed to walk around the street on Yom Tov. There's no Erev, you can walk on carrying the keys, even though there's nothing that's being locked up you're going to eat on Yom Tov. It's not Tzarech HaYoyim. What's the Tzarech HaYoyim, says the Ramah? Chayshish pen yignivim. He's afraid he's going to get stolen. If they get stolen, he's going to have a miserable Yom Tov. So that's called the Tzarech HaYoyim. So the Mishmur quotes many Rechim, most Rechim, that's not called Tzarech HaYoyim. Tzarech HaYoyim means that you have a physical Tzarech. You're eating, you're reading, you're learning, you're keeping warm. Those are Tzarech HaYoyim. In fact, the guy's got a psychological, he's got a fear, he's got trauma of losing his money. So we should try to discover that, or we should stay home. He said he has no right to walk around carrying keys to prevent some kind of a psychological loss. So that's the question that's supposed to be discussed. Is that really qualified? But getting back to this story, So it appears that the more correct thing to do is to avoid the Sol Shabbos, try to set the candles and to light them, usually before Yom Tov, in this case, is before Shabbos. I think we're on for the next one. Thank you.
So this person is really no reason.